Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the Vietnam Holding Investment Trust, but we're going to be framing the conversation in what could be the next industrial revolution in Vietnam. And that's the rise of the technology sector, in particular, the semiconductor industry. There's been a lot happening there. So we're going to be looking at the trajectory for the sector and what it means for the Vietnam Holding Investment Trust. And to do that, we're very kindly joined once more by Craig Martin, who is the chairman of Dynam Capital, the manager of the Vietnam Holding Investment Trust. Craig, thank you very much for being with us today.
Jonathan, as always, it's a great pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, and a pleasure to have you back on the podcast, Craig. And this, I feel, is going to be a particularly interesting one, given what's happening out there in the world, especially with AI and how Vietnam can fit in to that story. But before we get into the crux of it today, Craig, for those that maybe aren't aware of Vietnam Holding, please would you be able to give us an introduction, first of all, to yourself as well as the trust, please?
Great. Well, Jonathan, as you said, I'm Craig Martin. I'm the executive chairman of Dynam Capital. And with my colleagues who are all based in Vietnam, the manager for Vietnam Holding. Vietnam Holding is an investment company listed on the main board of the London Stock Exchange. It's part of the FTSE All Share Index. It can be readily bought through brokers or through wealth management platforms. And it's exclusively focused on the exciting growth story of the Vietnamese equity market.
And that's the story that we're going to be discussing today, particularly the technology sector, which I know, Craig, is a theme within the portfolio. It has been one for many years, but it's been heating up, I feel, recently. And as I said at the beginning, the main discussion that I'm going to be looking at today to start with is the semiconductor industry. Now, Vietnam and made in Vietnam has been a theme for the portfolio, I understand, for some time. But this is now moving into the technology sector. So it would be good to set the scene to start with, if we may, Craig, by looking at, you know, the factors, the underlying factors, the demographics, the makeup of the Vietnamese economy, which could make Vietnam Southeast Asia's hub for semiconductors going forward. What do you feel are the main factors at play there?
Look, there are several. Firstly, Vietnam's a friendly shore for many global manufacturers, broadly said. So many manufacturers are looking at Vietnam, relocating perhaps some of their manufacturing from other countries, including China. And in this kind of global game between, say, the US and China, Vietnam over the last 5-6 years has really emerged as a winner in that. And a couple of years ago in the US, they put in place the CHIP Act. And I think that really encouraged or nudged people in the semiconductor industry to look at their supply chains. And Vietnam features in that. I should caution that, you know, for the last 40-50 years, the kind of outsourcing in the semiconductor space has really been to places like Taiwan and South Korea, these newly industrialized nations of 20, 30 years ago, and Singapore and Malaysia and Thailand. And they're locations where it makes sense to, you know, put a big wafer fab, you know, $20-40 billion investment in Singapore or Taiwan. Where Vietnam's emerging in that space is in its skill set in having a large labor force, 100 million people, high rates of employment, technically capable people, big focus on mathematics and STEM, science, technology, engineering, maths. You've got a labor pool. And over the last 20, 30 years, you've had this made in Vietnam, creating the logistics chains for physical goods. And then that's moved into software and FPT. Our number one position is a leading player in that. And then as we move more into semiconductors, Vietnam's strength is probably going to be in two areas. One is continuing the packaging and test, the assembly packaging and test part of that chain, which Vietnam has been doing for a number of years. It's had big players out of the US in terms of Intel, and also from North Asia, Northeast Asia, in terms of Samsung and some of these players, where they've been assembling semiconductor packages in Vietnam, doing the testing. And then developing the R&D. So very interestingly, a lot of the large major companies are looking to hire 50,000 chip engineers in Vietnam by 2030 and building R&D centers. That's fantastic for equipping, taking advantage of the labor opportunity. So that point about STEM, science, technology, engineering, and maths, 40% of Vietnam's graduates are in STEM. So there's a big pool of labor. And FPT, our number one company, also has about 160, 170,000 students enrolled in STEM programs from kindergarten all the way up to university. So really fueling this kind of bench strength of technology. So I think for semiconductors in Vietnam, it's going to probably fall initially into more on the packaging, assembling and test, and more in terms of the R&D, the chip design. But that's not to say they can't do some manufacturing of chips. And actually, FPT is looking at the automotive sector to do some specialized semiconductors. So it's not high-end, perhaps processors and high-end memory, which you know South Korea and Taiwan are the leaders in. It's probably in more bespoke semiconductors, maybe for the automotive industry, as well as assembly for you know the mobile phone industry and those other categories. So it's exciting. FPT at the webinar that we organized last week, they mentioned that you know they're really looking at the software behind the software. So the human capital, the people, are putting a lot of investment into their labor force. They're making AI training mandatory for their staff. And they're teaming up with some of the godfathers of AI, people like Andrew Ng and Joshua Bengio that kind of invented the algorithms that we're using in deep learning these days. So really pushing on the training, building up their human capital. And as you said at the beginning, Jonathan, I think if Vietnam is on this new inflection point for industrialization, that investment in human capital and people will serve the country really well. Today, there's also a labor advantage. An engineer in Vietnam is probably half the cost of one in Malaysia, a third of the cost of an engineer in Thailand, a quarter of the cost of an engineer in South Korea, a fifth of Taiwan, and maybe an eighth of Singapore. So, you know, Vietnam, there's a labor advantage, there's a labor supply advantage, and there's a competency advantage. And that bodes well, really well for the future in Vietnam.
Yes, yeah, so one of the things that I picked up from the presentation, actually, Craig, was the funds and investment that FPT were putting in education. I believe they funded a dedicated university, and that's really looking to the future of the industry within Vietnam. So I just want to add some context now, because you mentioned that there are a number of multinationals moving into Vietnam and stepping up operations. It would be good if we could get you know, a little bit more detail and a flavour of the types of companies that are entering Vietnam in this particular space and the investments and operations that they're kicking off there.
Yeah, well, I say a lot of it is either in the assembly and test or it's in the R&D. And you've got a number of Taiwanese companies looking at AI chip design in Vietnam and some South Korean companies as well. You've got Bosch Semiconductor, Marvel, Infineon, Faraday, all announcing to grow their investments in Vietnam in terms of number of people employed, as well as dollars that are invested in there. And that's in addition to the Intels that have been you know, putting large assembly and test businesses in Vietnam for many years now. And Samsung from South Korea. Samsung's 60% of the hand phones in the world of Samsung's phones are made in Vietnam, but it's not just this fabrication. They're putting R&D centers. And actually in South Korea, they're looking to move some of their chip assembly from South Korea to Vietnam. Flip chip and film and technologies, particularly for mobile devices, but also for maybe for EVs, electric vehicles and automotive industry. So I think all of the players in the chain are looking at Vietnam for that labor advantage, but also for the labor pool and the capabilities. And then the other eye on the geopolitics, this friendly shore. You know, we don't know what's going to happen later in this year, but with you know different regimes, perhaps in the US and different attitudes towards China, and that will further perhaps encourage manufacturers to look at their supply chains and look at other countries such as Vietnam to be part of that supply chain. So I think those global multinationals, a lot of them from North Asia, that, you know, for the last 50 years have emerged as these outsourcing champions in their own right. And the semiconductor industry, clearly, obviously in Taiwan, it's a massive part of their economy. And they may look to diversify as well. And Vietnam stands to get investment, but also know-how. And particularly if they're looking to develop R&D centers in Vietnam, I think that bodes well for its position being cemented as part of the key technology supply chain, as well as the kind of global supply chain for all the other physical hard goods that Vietnam's been excelling in over 20, 30 years now.
Thank you. So you explained there how integral FPT are to the Vietnam semiconductor industry with all the good work that they're doing. I just want to move on now to the investment case for FPT, if we may, Craig. Of course, you held a presentation in conjunction with them last week, which is actually available on the UK Investor Magazine website in the video section. And there'll be a link in the notes of this podcast if anybody wants to watch this. But of course, the company's your largest holding within the Vietnam holding portfolio. So it would be good if we could delve a little bit deeper into that and why it's the biggest holding. You know, what do you see its future in terms of the evolution of it as in a holding within the portfolio? You know, how long has it been that top portfolio company? Is this something that has been reactionary to recent developments in Vietnam, or has it been a long-term holding at the top of the portfolio? And, you know, is it one that you're adding to, Craig? You know, you're obviously looking at the work that they're doing and looking at the trajectory of the company. Is it one that you're happy to increase your stake in?
Look, it's been in the portfolio for more than a decade, and we've probably made 10 times our money on our investment for our investors. It's probably been number one or close to number one for maybe the last five years or so. It is a large holding in the portfolio. It's been around about 15% of the portfolio. You know, normally our high conviction stocks are at 8%, but it's been growing so well. It's been compounding its earnings at 20% per annum for so long that it's remained at that number one position. Over the years, in fact, we've taken some profit and it keeps on growing. We like it because it's high return on equity, 20 to 25% return on equity on average over the last 5 to 10 years. It's driven strong returns for us. It's a well-managed business. It's still got a lot of growth to come. So its top line and its bottom line is revenues and its profits, 20% growth year on year. But its software sales reached about $1 billion last year to overseas companies. And it's got an ambition to increase that by 5 times in a few years. So it's certainly plenty of growth. At the levels of 15% in the portfolio, we're probably not able to add more to that. But it's a business that it always surprises us kind of on the upside around its positioning. And recently, it's been in the positive limelight around the semiconductors that we've just spoken about, but also around AI. And it is working with NVIDIA around some specialized areas of data centers for AI, but also, again, R&D for building and designing chips for AI, and also integrating AI more generally into businesses in Vietnam, into banks and some of our other names. So normally I say a high conviction starts 8%, but it's in the double digits in that. There's a great case for, you know, backing your winners. It's a well-managed business. It's got a strong board and it's a leading advocate of good reporting and transparency. So in terms of also on ESG dimensions, it scores very highly. And it's an interesting kind of mix. It's a big exporter externally from Vietnam globally in terms of IT, but it's also well-placed domestically in IT in terms of domestic broadband and even pay TV services and its education business. So it's a nice kind of diversified play in itself, domestic as well as export. So it's a great company to have in the portfolio, and it's driven tremendous value for our investors. So we're very happy with FPT.
Fantastic. And I can see why, Craig, just looking at the chart here, how that stock's performed over the last 10 years. But just want to look at the operations of FPT for a moment. And, you know, this is a truly global company, of course, based in Vietnam, but operations across the world. You know, how typical is this of Vietnamese listed companies? Are they becoming increasingly global, or is FPT really one that stands out? Of course, there's been this theme of made in Vietnam, with operations in Vietnam. Has that provided a base for other companies to then expand overseas?
Look, it's a great question. And sadly, the answer is it's atypical. So FPT is one of very few Vietnamese companies that are global. You have some that are regional, but FPT is global. Most Vietnamese companies and the category champions are domestic, purely domestic. And that's partly because it's not so easy for Vietnamese companies to invest and establish globally. You have an EV manufacturer that's starting to invest globally, a Vietnamese EV manufacturer called VinFast. You have a large dairy company, Vinamilk, which serves the local community, but also in the region, in Cambodia and Laos and other markets. But you know, FPT is atypical in that it's global in both its sales and its operations. Many companies in Vietnam are global players in terms of their sales, are exporting everywhere, particularly in hardware. And that's been going on for many, many years. And FPT has obviously taken that into software. And as I mentioned, it's delivered over $1 billion of software sales internationally last year, with ambitions to increase that by 5 times. And it's been buying, investing in the US and Europe into technology companies that can perhaps act as a funnel for contracts and business that Vietnam can service. During the webinar, it was very interesting. FPT mentioned that, you know, no one's a winner in terms of war, and war is a terrible thing. But actually, with the disruptions in Europe, in Belarus and Ukraine and Russia, they've seen a lot of business come their way into Vietnam because, you know, people want to outsource to a stable country. And Belarus, Russia, Ukraine used to get a lot of IT outsourcing. I wasn't aware of that, but FPT said, no, actually, you know, they've been picking up a lot of that business through their European offices, but to be delivered in Vietnam. So I think having those global legs and arms is very good for a company like FPT, but it's not very typical, Jonathan. There's, let's say, a handful of Vietnamese companies that are global champions, and FPT is definitely one of them.
Interesting. Thank you. So, you know, staying on the theme of technology within the portfolio, of course, you know, FPT is a huge proportion of the portfolio relative to other holdings. And of course, that's within the technology sector. But I think it would be good if we could give a little bit more context to listeners in terms of the rest of the portfolio and the weighting towards technology. You know, are there any other companies that you would put into that basket of being a tech stock, a Vietnamese tech stock? And you know, the question is, are you on the lookout? And, you know, do you feel that there are any other possible alternatives to FPT to bolster that weighting towards technology within the portfolio?
Well, look, I think digitalization is unstoppable. So we're looking for companies in Vietnam that are embracing technology in their core business. So banks and retailers, banks account for about 27-30% of our portfolio and retailers. And so we're looking for businesses where they're adapting, you know, AI in terms of retail companies and omni-channel services to grow their market share and deliver value to their customers. And then for banks, we're looking at banks that are adopting technology in terms of fintech, financial technology. So there used to be more Facebook accounts in Vietnam than bank accounts. That's changed recently. So banks are going digital in terms of their accounts. And brokerages, stock brokerages, are also going digital. And that's helped add maybe 1 million new stock trading accounts per year. We've spoken about this before, as the rise of the retail investor. So we're looking at, you know, brokerages that are very digitally connected. We're looking at banks that are very digitally connected and retailers that are omni-channel in that side. But we do also, to answer your question as well, you know, look out for other technology players. We do have a technology infrastructure player in our portfolio, a telco tower company. It's the largest telecommunication tower company in Vietnam. And that should benefit from the growth in 5G, in data centers and Internet of Things and that kind of thing. So we're looking at through two lenses. One is how we can select good companies in Vietnam that are building a sustainable future using technology. And then when there are opportunities, looking at businesses that are part of that technology infrastructure. We're not going to try and, you know, find the next kind of Zoom or the next Facebook. We're looking more at the kind of business-to-business services.
Thank you. So my next point here is about technology IPOs in Vietnam, because, of course, you know, it's always a hot topic in the United States when the latest technology company is coming to market. So I'd like to explore, if you may, Craig, what that looks like in Vietnam. Now, of course, FPT is the leader, and, you know, it's very unlikely there's going to be any company that comes along and knocks them off that spot at any point. But, you know, in terms of the listed equity, the public equity markets in Vietnam, are you seeing a raft of technology-focused companies coming to market? Are there any planned? And, you know, is it something that you'd get involved in at the IPO stage? And if you were, what would you be looking for in a new issue coming to the Vietnamese markets?
Look, great question. Frankly, any IPO would be good news. And I have to say, there haven't been any for 5 years of IPO for many reasons, you know, pandemic notwithstanding. But actually, I think the last tech IPO in Vietnam was probably in 2018, and it was a disaster. The retail investors couldn't get their head around the business model, and it turns out they were right, and the share price tanked. We do see one or two domestic technology companies that are looking at IPO. Typically in the past, they've looked overseas. They've looked at NASDAQ for their IPO. But there's one, what used to be called VinaGame, VNG, that is a digital content platform and a gaming platform. It's the owner of the largest social media company in Vietnam, the equivalent to Facebook. That was planning to IPO on NASDAQ. They may look in Vietnam. You know, certainly we would take a look at that. But there haven't been many IPOs. The government still holds stakes in around about 140 companies through its holding company, including a stake actually in FPT. And it's announced plans to kind of spin those stakes out. So we'll probably look at those kind of opportunities. Where there are existing businesses with, you know, proven track record that are coming to market, but there haven't been too many. There are some consumer retail IPOs that I think are planned for next year. So that's something for us to keep an eye on. But often that's a company that's, you know, listed on the equivalent of the UK's AIM. It's like a secondary market, and then they move to the main board. So it's not necessarily an IPO, but it's gives an opportunity for more broad ownership in the shares. And that's certainly something that we look at. And we can invest pre-IPO, but there just haven't been any of interest in the last 5-6 years. So something to address going forward. I think the government do want to see the stock market expand. That's partly why probably the government wants to sell off some stakes that it holds, some further privatization. But it has an ambition to see the stock market get bigger and capital markets be a channel for companies to raise capital. But it's very much still early days for lots of IPOs in Vietnam, and certainly early days for technology IPOs.
That's fascinating, Craig. Thank you. Certainly an area that I'll personally be keeping an eye on. So just one final point here to finish off with. And now, of course, we've discussed technology in some detail on this podcast, but the Vietnam holding portfolio is highly diversified. And, you know, it's a question here and a point when I've been listening to this, I've been thinking, you know, we've got the technology sector and we have the workforce there, you know, highly skilled workforce, ready, willing and able to be part of the semiconductor industry and the growth that we could potentially see there. But of course, there's going to be some trickle down effects from any growth in the semiconductor sector and, you know, the technology sector as a as a whole. So what do you see within the portfolio, the V&H portfolio, as being the biggest beneficiaries of any trickle down from a growing technology sector?
Well, look, I think it's going to be good news across the board. I mean, you mentioned earlier about, you know, industrialization. Countries like South Korea, you know, after the Korean War, they went into heavy ship manufacturing, and you know, now they're technology and consumer sectors and exporting K-pop and K-drama and all those kind of things. So as modernization, industrialization continues, you do see that trickle down. You see per capita GDP go up and consumer behavior changes. So good news across the board. More specifically, I'd say for the technology side, logistics. That's a sector we have a lot of investment in, not only sea freight, but air cargo. If you're doing a lot of high value light components, you know, you'd probably air freight them out rather than sea freight them out. So air freight and air cargo logistics is an interesting area. Manufacturing, these players want to be in industrial parks with you know, good connectivity, a good energy supply, and we have a number of those industrial parks in our portfolio. Renewable energy, a lot of them have commitments to use more renewable energy, and many of the industrial parks that we're invested in, that's a key part of their offering. Clean access to, you know, water, high technology services, fast internet, and renewable energy. And then, of course, not to forget banks. Banks are about 27% of the portfolio, and banks financing those businesses. And then in addition, you know, technology companies like FPT will benefit. They're a key player in this. So I would say it's a broad opportunity for growth across the economy. And the government is very keen to see Vietnam step out and become this more modern industrialized country. And that will raise the livelihood of its people. And the government wants to see, you know, Vietnam's per capita GDP puts it at kind of middle income level. It wants to see it at high income level by, you know, 2045. So it wants to see Vietnam continue to grow and step up and punch above its weight. And I think it's very well positioned for that. So all of our investment themes around the domestic consumer, around the industrialization, the kind of made in Vietnam story, and the urbanization as the economy and the cities become bigger and more connected. All of these things would be positively influenced by Vietnam becoming more of a player in the technology and in the semiconductor supply chain as well.
Fantastic. So just a note to listeners, as I said earlier on in the podcast, do check out the notes of this podcast as well as the UK Investor Magazine video section, because there is a recording of the presentation with FPT, which is definitely worth a watch. So Craig, thank you very much once more for being on the podcast today.
It's my absolute pleasure. Thanks ever so much.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.